A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Today's daf, Brachos Chaf Hei, Amud Beis is where we will begin. Pagination, page 50, 25b. Our topic for this morning is improper matches for Kedusha, things that are incompatible, either because you're doing something of Kedusha in the presence of something that's improper, or the other way around, you're doing something that's less than dignified or honorable in the presence of Kedusha, in the presence of a Sefer Torah or Sfarim. So on Amud Aleph, there's much discussion about an area which is foul smelling, and the restriction that a person is not allowed to say Davar Shabikdusha if there is a bad smell emanating in certain ways. Also a discussion about Tsoa, excrement, in the presence of a person who wants to daven. A discussion about simply moving away for Amos, or in some cases it has to be Melo Einov. If it's in front of you, you can't daven in that direction. On Amud Beis, which is where I'd like to begin, we have a discussion which is absolutely fascinating and halacha lemaisa, a distinction between whether a person is facing erva, which is a part of the body that's uncovered improperly, or tsoa, which is excrement. Two very different types of improper presence. Even though in our language we sometimes refer to them both as dirty talk, etc., but there's actually a very big difference between the two. In halacha, when it deals with tsoa, bodily waste, it's referred to as v'chisisa es tseyasecha. You should cover that which comes out of you. You should cover it. And as long as it's covered, it's been satisfied. When it deals with erva, so then that has to do with not seeing. And even if it's covered, but if it's covered in a way that you still see it, then it would still be a restriction. The case, if you look in the wide lines, again, Chaf Hei Amud Beis, pagination 50, the wide lines counting down about 8 lines at the end of the line, Amar Rava, Rava said, Tsoa ba'ashishis mutar likros kriyashma kenegda. If you have excrement and it's in a glass, Rashi uses the word lantern, if it's hidden by something that is see-through, then it's permitted to read kriyashma opposite it. What's the logic? It's covered. So obviously you don't pay attention to it, whatever, but it's covered. So technically, if you want to know halachically, it's covered. Likewise, if someone were changing a diaper, but it's through a glass window, so then who cares what's happening on the other side of the glass? Because it's covered, because there's a separation. Erva ba'ashishis, however, if it was an improper picture or a person dressed, or nowadays we might extend this to the question of a TV that's playing whatever it's playing, and you're facing the TV. So maybe it's the same, maybe it's different, but this is the halacha that an erva, even if it's hidden by glass, is forbidden likros kriya shema kenegdo. What's the reasoning? Rava explains. So, avashishis muta likros kriya shema, ditzoa bekisui talanga milsa, because tsoa depends on whether it was covered. Vamichsayo, it's covered. Erva ba'ashishis, also likros kriya shema kenegdo. But if you have erva hidden by glass, it's still forbidden, because velo yira becha ervas davar amar achmana, because you're not allowed to see the improper thing. Va'akamischazya, and here you are seeing it. The poskim discuss, for example, if you're by a mirror and you're able to see what's behind you. So again, if you're able to see something, it appears from this Gemara that by erva, that would be restricted. Let's drop down to approximately the middle of the page. The first words on the line are Reviyasadamaya Kirib Zakai, and then two dots will begin over there, another practical halacha. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned. Garaf shel rei, a container that holds excrement, va'ovid shel meiraglayim, or a container that holds urine, even if at this point they are clean, but the fact that they normally hold this leaves a certain stigma to the keli, and also likros kriya shema kenegdon, it's forbidden to read kriya shema opposite them. Va'afal pi she'ein bohem klum, even though right now there's nothing in them. Now, it is possible that a person makes some sort of distinction between what they had and what we have, because what we have is glazed and it doesn't leave a residue and something could be cleaned perfectly well, perhaps. But essentially, the toilet or the potty, even if it is not in use, would come into this question that even if it's detached, even if it's sitting outside by the garbage, ready to be disposed of, but the fact that it was used in this way could restrict a person from reciting a bracha facing it in its presence. Now, there is a significant leniency regarding our toilets, to the point that some poskim hold that in the bathroom itself, even though we normally do not recite brachas there, etc., but there are poskim who hold that in the bathroom itself, using our type of toilet, it actually might be permitted to recite a bracha. And the basis for their logic is on the facing page, Brachas Chaf Vav, pagination 51, 26a. If you'll look about halfway down the page, right before the Mishnah, the middle of the line, Amar Rava, Hani Bati Kisoi de Parsoi, the Beis Hakisei, the bathroom, used by the Parsiim, Afagav de Isbehut Soa, even if there is excrement in their bathroom, Kistumin Damu, it's considered sealed off. And Rashi explains, because the way they developed their bathroom is that the dirt would drop down. It was on an angle, it would drop down and would fall into a holding area well beneath the surface. And because it was done like that, the top was always clean and the presence of the room in which you were was always clean. So some people say that even though our bathrooms require that you flush, but the whole structure of it is that the room should be very clean and should be very proper. And they hold that perhaps our toilets do not qualify for this restriction, at least in a case of dechak, a case of difficulty. If there was a toilet by bulk pickup for garbage, it could be that you're not restricted in reciting bracha. Certainly if you recited a bracha in its presence, you're not going to have to repeat it or anything like that. A potty might be very different, because the potty really does retain the presence of the dirt until it's physically, you go out of your way to wash it out. And there may be what seem to be two very similar applications are actually very different and with very different halachas. Let's drop down to the bottom of the page. Five lines from the bottom, the end of the line. Five lines up, end of the line. And here we have the reverse case. You're doing something that's less than dignified, the case of tashmish intimacy, even though obviously it's supposed to be done b'kedusha, but nevertheless, it's not something that's supposed to be done in front of a Sefer Torah, in front of Sfarim, and therefore we're presented with the following story. Rav Achoy Yasek Le'Livrei B'Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marsa. This Talmud Chacham brought his child to chuppah, to a marriage, in the place that's listed, either the chuppah v'lo mistayo milsa, and following the chuppah, it just didn't work. They're referring to tashmish. He wasn't able to bring himself successfully to his kala. Also basrei le'iyune. So obviously it was an issue that needed attention. It wasn't just like a simple thing, he was tired or something. It needed attention. So he came in, and he came to the room, he checked the room out, and chaz a sefer Torah, the mancha, he found that there was a sefer Torah in the room. Their sefer Torah were smaller, perhaps, than ours, and it wasn't so impossible that there was a sefer Torah in the room and no one realized. So he checked, he found it, amaluhu, and he said, Eichu, whoa, hashta lo esoil sekantan levroi, you almost brought my son to a sakana, that he might have died as a punishment had there not been the siyata deshmaya that he couldn't bring himself to actually do the act. The Tanya, because we learned, Bayishish bo sefer Torah tefillin, also l'shamish bo samita, ad sheyotziyem, until you take them out, o sheyanichem kli besoch kli, or you put them inside vessel, that you double cover them. So in halacha, the way this is brought, Simon Reish Mem, I believe it is, that by a sefer Torah it should actually be placed in a different room, but when you're dealing with Sfarim, then you simply double bag it, and that would be sufficient. Likewise with a mezuzah, if perchance the mezuzah is put up in a way that it's inside the room in which the tashmish will take place, it should be double covered, which if the mezuzah was wrapped properly, it would have a double covering intentionally, that people wrap it in a way purposely, knowing that it's a guest room, or knowing that it's going to be used for tashmish, in addition to whatever wrapping is there, perhaps glass, saran wrap, they make sure to have a covering that's non-see-through, as a designated covering. Amar Abayi lo shanu ala bekli she'eno kilyon. This only works when it's the vessel that's not its designated vessel. So for example, by tefillin, the bag that's designated for the tefillin doesn't count as the double covering. Ava bekli she'u kilyon afilu asara mani kechad manan dami. It's all considered one covering, and you'd need an additional covering in order to be allowed to do tashmish in that room. And that's exactly what people do. They don't often keep their tefillin in their bedroom, but when you're traveling in a hotel room, let's say a guest room, to make sure that it's double covered before tashmish is done. Yeshikoach, thank you for joining. Have a wonderful day.